awesome. I started counting up the hours that we spent here, and it was right about 15 hours if you came all 3 days and stayed for clean up, tear, and all that jazz. It was about 15 hours here, and what a better place to spend a 20-year celebration than what God's provided, you know, in the house that God's provided. And there were so many great things, from worship to the food to the word to the testimonies. Everybody has, you know, testimonies, and it was awesome hearing where we had come from before I was even thinking about going to church. I was 8 years old when this place started, so not to make anybody feel old or anything, but as it progressed and how we've progressed and how we followed God all along the way. But I also was thinking about what would have happened if we didn't. What would have happened if we decided to do things ourselves? What if Jimmy got that vision and said, nah, never mind. Might be in a different boat than we are currently. I did want to share something that happened to me today, and it was awesome. And it was, like I said, every time I preach, there's something that happens during the day that God uses for the message, and today was no different. So I'm at work, and I'm working on a machine, and the president of the company is just moseying around, and I see him from time to time with the owner. He's, you know, showing customers around, showing vendors, you know, this, that, and the other. When I'm working on a machine, he comes up to me, and I've met him a couple times in passing. I don't think he knows my name. I don't think that he even knows what I do specifically, but he stopped over and said, hey, man, how's it going? What's new? And I said, well, nothing, same old, busy, as you can tell. And he said, yeah, that's great. He said, are you surviving through it? I said, no. He's taken back. He's waiting for me. He said, yeah, yes, sir. You know, yeah, I'm loving it. I said, no, I'm not surviving through it. And he kind of looked at me and I said, I'm thriving through what we're going through. And he said, how on earth are you thriving in a world that is in the state that it is in? When you come in every day knowing that orders are going to be out, you know, piled up and the world's in a mess, how can you say that you're thriving? I said, well, God's got me this far. I know He's going to carry me through to completion. And I talked about Jesus with him. And he looked at me and he said, he leaned in like this. He said, you're a believer? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, well, so am I. I said, well, praise the Lord. And he went on his way. But I thought about that conversation. I thought, man, when I'm close to God, when we are close to God and he draws us to him and we're close and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, life is good. We can thrive in whatever situation we're in or we're going through. But the question tonight is, are you? Do you feel separated from God from time to time? Do you feel like he's not there, like he's not listening, like he refuses to hear what you want and what you're asking for? I would like to submit that maybe it's not God who has the problem. Maybe, just maybe, it's us. Isaiah chapter 59 is where we'll be. We'll be reading, starting in verse 1, and it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words, and they speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. 5. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's webs. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and I would just ask for your spirit, your presence to be here tonight, God. I ask that you put a hedge of protection around this place, Lord. Convict our hearts, soften them, Lord. Help us to look inwardly at ourselves. And when we run into situations like this, Lord, help us to first look at ourselves and what we can do to fix the problem rather than pointing fingers. Father, I pray again for your presence to be here tonight. We love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. 59's a bit rough. Hearing about these people, how many of you guys would hang out with these type of people by a show of hands? Yeah. How many of you let their kids go over to their house to hang out? Yeah, well, can I tell you tonight that these people, they're you and me. These are God's people. This isn't the world that Isaiah is talking about. This isn't outside the building, the church building, that Isaiah is talking about. These are God's people. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, every once in a while, or maybe more often than we should, can fall into one of these verses. That's a tough pill to swallow. Is that, hey, maybe the reason God isn't hearing me is because of me. And I find it interesting that somebody either thought or brought this up to Isaiah, and he says, can God save? Can God still rescue? Is he in control? Does God even care at all about what I'm going through? Is he listening? Does he lack compassion? Does God still love me? Somebody had to have asked the question for Isaiah to find it important enough to bring up. And the answer to all of those is, no, that's not the case whatsoever. God still is all of these things. God still loves us. God still cares for us. He's still in control. His power doesn't just go by the wayside. But verse 2, here's what separates us from God. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. See, the problem isn't with God and his power and his mercy and his love or his willingness. It's never been God's problem. It's always been our problem. And if you're a believer tonight, it's our problem. The reason we're not hearing from God the way we want to, the reason why it seems like he's so distant, is because we have separated ourselves from him. We have walked away from him. It's not him turning his back on us. It's us walking away from him. Because we're sinners. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. Well, if you're a believer in Christ, sinner by birth, you can cross that one off because we're born into a new family. Praise God. Sinner by nature, God gives us a new nature. If we're saved and we believe in him. So what's left? Choice. Just like these Israelites, they're doing things against what God wants them to do. It seems like they have spells where they're awesome, they're doing what God wants, and then not so much. And then they're doing what God wants, and not so much. And does it sound familiar? We do what God wants a lot. Sometimes we fall off. We do what God wants. Sometimes we fall off. Seems like it's a cycle that happens. And again, it happens maybe more often than not. But don't ever think for one second that it's God pulling away. And don't ever think that he's going to leave us, because he's not. His word says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to abandon us. He loves us so much, but we are so quick to run away from him. We're so quick to pack up shop and move on to the next thing when we don't have a prayer answered. So quick to jump to the next best thing. I'll tell you, there ain't nothing better than God, so why don't you just stick with him? You don't need to pack up every time you get a no, or every time he's not listening. You need to look at yourself and say, what am I doing to cause this? You need to reflect and say, Lord, is it my lifestyle, the way that I'm living, that's causing you to not do these things that I'm asking you to do? And I think, like I said, if we look in the mirror and we're honest with ourselves, we can find out the answer pretty quick. And like I said, he's not going to leave us or forsake us, but he might not be sitting at the same table as us. He might be watching from across the room seeing, hey man, how's this going to pan out for you without me? How's this going to work out when you're in the ditches and you're clawing for everything except the hand that's reaching out to you? Isaiah said it's not that he's pulling his hand away, so you can't get it. You know, you got to be quicker. If you were just a little faster, you'd have it. It's not that. That's not the case at all. It's not that God can't hear. What's he say? He says, your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not. It's not a question of can God or can God not. It's will he or will he not. And in this case, if we're acting like fools and doing whatever we want, what's the chances that God's going to hear us? Well, his word says he will not hear us. So I can't believe you said that. I didn't. I'm just reading the words in the Bible. We mess it up a lot. And I'm so thankful that when we do mess it up, there's a purpose for it. There's a reason for it. Everything we do is to draw us closer to Him. Whether we think so or not, whether we want it to be that way or not. You say, okay, well then what ways are we separated? If we're not going to lose our salvation, because we're not, what ways are we separated then? Well, we can see here, through fellowship. If we're not doing what God wants us to do, what's the chances of the fellowship with Him being what He wants it to be? Well, you look at any worldly relationship. Marriage, for example. If things ain't going so hot, you guys are arguing all the time, and things aren't going your way, what's the chances that your fellowship with your spouse is good? That your relationship is strong? Well, I don't think anybody that's been married over a month knows that it ebbs and flows. It's not always going to be great. It's not always going to be great. But the fellowship is strained when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing in God's eyes, whether it be in marriage, in our job, whatever it may be. If we're not doing what we need to be doing, our fellowship with God is not going to be what it needs to be an effective tool for the kingdom of God. Can't be. Won't be. Also, we're separated from His blessings. We ask, Lord, give me, give me, give me. I want, I want, I want. Can I have, can I have, can I have? While all the time we're doing what we want. We're not seeking what He wants for our lives. We're trying to make things work. We're trying the path of least resistance. We're doing everything we can to say, hey, you know what? God, I appreciate you, and I'll give you a shout when I'm in trouble. But until then, just hang out back here. Until then, just sit on the back burner. Until then, be in the background. Why would God want to bless us for that when He has people working for Him, trying to further His kingdom? Why would He say, hey, Jeremy, I know you ain't doing anything for me, but here's everything you want. Here's everything you need from me. He wouldn't. He's going to move on to Brian, saying, Brian. Yeah, yeah. He said, Brian, you're the one that I want to invest in. You're the one that I'm going to pour into. And like I said, He ain't leaving us. He's not forsaking us. He's not abandoning us. We are doing that ourselves. We're doing that ourselves. So our fellowship is strained. Our blessings are strained. The benefits of His love are strained. You say, well, how can you say that? Have we forgotten the story of the prodigal son? What happened to him? He said, Daddy, I want my inheritance, and I want it now. Dad said, okay. Here you go. What'd he do? He hightailed out to another city, to another town, to do what he wanted to do. Where'd he end up? In the pig pen, ultimately. Fighting with pigs over his next meal. Was God not with him the entire time? Oh, he was, but he was watching from where he left him. Does that make sense? He was watching from where the prodigal son left him. He said, we'll see how long this lasts. And it didn't last long. And what happened? He returned. When he realized, Dad, I screwed up. I messed up. I need to come back. Dad said, okay, go get my best robe. Go get rings for him. He's back. But man, we're so quick to run. So quick to run. And not only that, but when we do run, when things don't go our way, we place blame on everybody but ourselves. Lord, if I could just make more money, if my employer would just pay me more money, I wouldn't be in the position that I am. Lord, if I would just make more money, I'd tithe to you. But if I don't, I can't afford my habits, so I'm not going to give you what you deserve, what you ask for. Lord, if this person would just, instead of saying, is it me? What can I do to fix what I'm in? That's where we should start. But Isaiah goes down this laundry list of sin and iniquity. And he says in verse 3, and he says, so your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue has muttered perversity. He said, you guys are willingly killing. You're causing pain to people. You're lying. You're behaving terribly. This is not what the people of God need to be acting like. But we do. He says in verse 4, no one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. It's the Wild West. Everybody's doing what they want to do. Nobody has any sort of spiritual guide. They understand who God is and they know that there is people, but that's where it stops. They say, oh, I got saved. That's all I need. I got saved. Isn't that enough? I made it into heaven. Isn't that enough? That's where free will kicks in. Isn't that enough? Well, sure it is. But when you get there, what do you got to show for it? When you get there, is God going to be pleased with you for the works that you've done here? Or are you living like these people, doing whatever they want? It says, nobody called for justice, nor does any. So there wasn't one in this group. Nor does any plead for truth. What does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Not one of them was seeking anything remotely close to what God wanted for them. And when you turn it to New Testament, us, how many of us are seeking the truth in every situation? You say, well, I never killed anybody. I don't work in sin. I don't do these things. No, but you've lied before, right? Yeah. Well, you've stole something before, right? Yeah. Well, you've done this sin before. Yeah. Well, then you've done them all. Isn't that what God's Word says? If you've done one, you've done them all. It doesn't matter what. This is just a list that these guys are going through at the moment. None of them seek the truth. None of them trust, or all of them trust empty words and speak lies. They got itchy ears. They want to hear what sounds good. You ain't going to get that at this church. You ain't going to get, hey, I know you're living in sin. God will bless you through it. Hey, I know you're doing what you want to do. God understands. Well, yeah, he sure does, but it don't make it right. I understand, but I don't agree with everything. Not one of them pled for truth. They all trusted empty words. Then it says they conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Everything they did, including raising their children, was bad, was evil. It brought forth iniquity. Everything they did in their life. The chosen people of God. Are you understanding this? The people of God who he picked are doing everything and anything to get away from him. Why does that make sense? A better question, why do we do it? Why do we treat God like an afterthought? Why do we say, yeah, I believe in Jesus and what he did on that cross, but this is my life, isn't it? Doesn't God want me to be happy? Doesn't God want me to get my best life here? Doesn't God want me to have everything I ever wanted? No, he wants you to obey what his word says. And we don't. I'm guilty of it too. I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, I don't do anything. I do. We all do. But what are we doing about it? How are we fixing it? Because these people, they don't seem to care. I think sometimes we don't care either. We compromise, we're willing to do whatever feels good. Verse 6, he says, "Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands." It says they won't wear. Why won't they wear what they've done? Well, two things. One, it's not pleasant to God. They're not gonna. It's not pleasing to God. It doesn't look good. God's not gonna accept it. So they're not gonna wear it on the outside, but on the inside, that's who they are. That's who we are. And God, when we walk away and we're in turmoil, can I tell you, and this might be a hard pill to swallow, God's given us everything we want. It's to be separated from Him. When our flesh takes over, it will pull and say, "God, I don't need you. I don't want you." He's given us everything we want. And just to find out when we get so far down the road, that ain't worth nothing. That the sin and the iniquity that we're living in, that we continue to live in, isn't getting us nowhere. Just getting us further and further down the road. And it hurts. And we say, "Why, God?" And we go back to that. "Can you not hear me? Can you not pull me out of this?" Isaiah 59:2 says, "He ain't hearing you. He won't hear you. Because of your iniquity and your sin." And they're saying, "All right, I'm not going to wear it then. It's not pleasing to God. I won't do it." But also, when you wear something, when you put something on, Brian, you're representing Old Navy right now. I see that. You're saying, "Hey, I've shopped there. Or at least my wife got me something from there. Or my kids got me something from there." But you see a brand. When you wear something, you know where I'm going with this? When you wear something, you see what the person is about. You know the people that dress in high-dollar suits, Armani shoes, all those things. Okay, they got money. Or at least they act like they have money. You can tell the difference. These people are saying, "God, I know what I'm doing, but I ain't claiming it. God, I know that I'm messing up. I don't care, though." Because they're living like the world. They're God's people. And they're living like the world so that there's no difference between them and Joe Schmo on the road, saying, "Hey," they're denying it. They're not owning it. They're making justification as to why they sin. Anybody ever do that? "Well, Lord, I would give money, but I don't have it." Or, "God, I would go to church, but you know, man, my Saturday night was wild and I got to sleep in. Lord, I would do this or I would do that." They reason, they justify, they make it sound real good, they church it up so it doesn't sound so bad. God sees through it. Always has, always will. And you wonder, through all of this, was there any sort of conviction? Well, you believe that. If you're a child of God, and you have the Holy Spirit, you guarantee there's a conviction that happens through this. It's not like you get off scot-free. You know what you're doing is wrong. The Spirit is confirming that what you're doing is wrong. And what? We do it anyway. We do it anyway, willingly. Happily sometimes. We do it anyway. Just like these people. They continue to do it. He says in verse 7, "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths." Run to evil. I can hear a pin drop in this place tonight. It's quiet. They run to evil. They don't seek God. He's turned his face away from them. And they run. Their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. They're still doing whatever they want. And Isaiah's calling them out for it. He said, this is the reason why. And they don't care. They say, well, that's fine. God turned his face away. He won't hear me, so I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to continue doing what I want to do. Living in sin, living in iniquity, filling my life with anything other than God's word. And Isaiah, he's just telling it how it is. So you want to know why your life's in shambles? You want to know why things ain't going right? You want to know why your prayers aren't being answered? God's not listening to you? And he lays it out. Boom, 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 boom. He says in verse 8, the way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways, and they have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. You see, in verse 8, it confirms it that what they're doing, they brought upon themselves. What they're doing was not because God doesn't love them, was not because God isn't hearing them or chooses not to hear them. It's not because anything that God was doing. They had a plan. All they had to do was follow what God wanted them to do. They had a plan, you know, just like this. We walk around, we see it, aisleways. They said, now, God, we're going to go over the bleachers. We're going to do it our way. It's going to be more fun going over, turn into an obstacle course instead of just walking down the path that's created for them. They said, nope, not us. We made themselves crooked paths. We want to throw some curves in there because your way isn't satisfying enough. Your way isn't what I thought it might be. This whole church thing, this whole Jesus thing, yeah, I'm glad I'm saved, but I'll pick it up maybe on Sunday, maybe on Wednesday, maybe once a month, because that's, if you attend church once a month now, that's considered full-time membership. I'll go once a month and get my 12 a year, man. Whew. God bless me through that. Silly to think about it like that. But when you're running from God and you're doing whatever the heck you want to do and you're making your own path and you're making it crooked to weave in and out, it's rough. Stefan, how's it going for you? It says, whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Is this saying that we won't see heaven? Is this saying that God don't care? No. Let me ask you this. Because we've all been there, and I'm asking because I already know the answer because I've been through it. But when you do what you want to do versus what God wants you to do, how's that feeling? When you run from the calling that God has put in your life, for the plan that God has for you, and you say, nope, I'm not going to do it, can you sleep well? I know I couldn't. Can you wake up every morning and say, I'm thankful for what I have, or you got a pit in your stomach saying, man, I know what I need to do, but I'm still not going to do it. That's probably more the feeling you get versus a happy-go-lucky, hey, let's do it. So then it brings the question, so if God, if his hand isn't shortened and he won't hear us, how do we fix it? I think I'm just going to leave you hanging and be like, oh, no, that's all you get. No, there's a way to fix it. He says in verse 20, So verses 9 through 19 talk about their sin confessed and the Redeemer of Zion. We'll pick it up here in verse 20. It says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. What happened with the prodigal son we talked about? He said, Dad, Daddy, I messed up. I shouldn't have done ill against you. Dad, I know I blew it. I know I messed up. And Dad isn't asking for a story, is he? He's standing there like this. Come home. Come back. We got a place for you. Are you done? Are you done yet? Right? Are you done yet? Come back. I'll take care of you. All we have to do, as I say that as this, all we have to do is turn from our transgressions. That's it. It's that simple. Oh, but we like holding on to them. Oh, we like holding on to that one sin that we keep in our pocket that as soon as something goes wrong, we say, yep, reaching for that bad boy again because it's helped me through. Throw it away. You don't need it. If you turn from your transgressions and you repent for your sin and your iniquity, what's restored? The fellowship. The blessings, the benefits of His love. He's saying, come back home. Come back home. You don't need to live like this anymore. That lifestyle you guys are living ain't worth it. Come back. I'm here. I've always been here. You're the one that left me. I'm right where you left me. And I bet you if you're struggling with that tonight, you know. You think about it. You know right where you left God. And you know right where to find Him. Verse 21, He says, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, talking to Isaiah, and my word which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. Let the Spirit lead you. If you're a believer tonight and you say, God, I know, I understand and I know why you're not hearing from me. I understand and I know why I'm a sinner and I understand and I know where I left you. Go back to Him. Because His promise was that He'll get you back on track. He's saying, Isaiah, the words that I've given you, the spirit that I've given you, believer, the word that God's given you, the spirit that God's given you, can keep you on that straight path if you let it. Shoot you due north if you let it. You don't have to try life your way. You don't have to, after you get saved, you don't have to go back to the old lifestyle. You don't have to say, God, not today. And if you choose to do it His way, and you let the Spirit lead you, and you get back on track, and you do good for Him, oh, you'll be drawn close. And how sweet is that feeling? If you're a believer tonight, I know that you know that feeling. You've felt it at least once in your life. Maybe it's time to feel it again. Otherwise, you'll stay separated. Let's stand.